Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. I will teach transgressions your ways, and sinners to turn to you. Deliver me from death, O God, God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. Were I to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
Briley, you got to come back. You're my message, man.
Hey, guys.
Come on. Here she is. Hey, Briley, I need you.
Come on, Briley, I'll sit with you.
Okay, can you sit up here with me?
I'll sit with Grandma.
Or with Grandma? I know. I'm with you, sister. Okay. Oh, and my children are here. Can you scooch over? Well, later on, Mr. Dave will be reading the scripture, and, well, it's a long one. But it is a good one. And it's the gospel lesson from Romans, and it has so many good messages in it. And one of the biggest things that I learned when I was praying over this message was that to do something amazing doesn't mean you have to do it big. You just got to do it God. And Pastor was helping me because we've had such a tough week at our house with school starting and some other challenges that came our way. Dave, and so he was helping me get a hold on the message and trying to figure out how I could talk to you guys and keep it simple. And from the scripture today, he sent me a different interpretation. And so there's a couple lines from here that I want to talk about that really reached out to me. And from Romans, in the 12th chapter, verses 14 through 21, some of them say, don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy go hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. But the big part was I was thinking about Briley and I this week. And a couple weeks ago, Briley had an accident. She was out playing outside with Brighton, and someone, her friend, was pulling her in her wagon. And Briley, when that happened and you got hurt, what did you do? Do you remember what you did? You could have been so mad at your friend because they pulled the wagon and you fell out. But you weren't mad. You just said, it's okay, you didn't mean to, and she moved on. And this week on Wednesday, Sam and I were in a car accident, and I totaled my Yukon, and I'm very sad, but we were not hurt greatly. Praise God for that. But it was my fault. I took my eyes off the road just for a second, and that second I slammed into the back of a beautiful red car, and $5,600 later. But I remember when Sam and I hit, and the airbags deployed, and OnStar's calling, sounding like the voice of God, and the people in the car that I hit came back to check on us. They could have been so mad. I really messed up their day. She was supposed to have knee surgery, x-rays. I messed up their car. We sat there for 2 hours. And not one time did they show anything but grace to me and to Sammy. And we were so thankful for that. And so I think about this verse this week. It just really hit. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. And they knew I was sorry. And they knew that I didn't do it on purpose, and they continued to let us go about our day. And when I called home to my prayer warriors, you know, they couldn't fix it right away, but everybody said, we will pray for you, and we will offer our car, or we will bring you this. And Dave dropped everything to rescue me, and Sam wasn't mad at me because I ruined his shopping day. So we just felt grace all the way throughout the whole day. And that's what we have to do for other people, is we must show them grace. It doesn't have to be big. It just has to be God. Can we say a prayer, please? Echo prayer. Dear God, thank you for being with us this week. Whether it's at school or our work, thank you for opening our eyes to know that we need to share your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
The reading today is the 12th chapter of Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same functions, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here ends the reading.
Thank you, Dave. This is the word of God for we the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. I had a recap video from today to show, since last week was such an emotional Sunday because of everything that happened in Charlottesville, and for me because I shared some of the story of my friend who just moved to Charlottesville and is a new professor at University of Virginia. But I really feel like God's word has so much to say to us today. So I can email out the video if we can find a way to do that. If not, I can send the link and you can go and watch it. You can watch the whole thing. It'll recap both everything we've had from so far and everything to come in the book of Romans. But I just feel like God has a lot to say to us today from those words. Did you feel that conviction from the Holy Spirit when you heard those words? I could hear the conviction in Dave's voice. God is speaking to us. He's speaking to us about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's needed more today than ever. Amen? Amen. Just those last words, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And we know that Jesus told his disciples in John's gospel when he was in the upper room, he says, in this world, you will not, you might, but you will have trouble. You will be persecuted. But take heart. For I, he says, have overcome the world. And later on, the Apostle John wrote in his letters, he said, brothers and sisters, don't worry when your hearts condemn you, for God is greater than our hearts. God is greater than our hearts, amen? And we see in our world the depths of depravity that our hearts are capable of, how we can be so easily turned against one another, how we can be caught in these partisan battles, how we can be so quick to react and to blame, and to respond to hatred with hatred and fear. But God also tells us through the Apostle John in John's letter that perfect love casts out fear. Amen? Let's say that together. Perfect love casts out fear. And on Monday, I talked to my friend, and he showed me a feed on his Facebook page that was live from Monday night where all these people from Charlottesville and people who just wanted to see peace came and took candles, and they walked around the grounds that had seen the bloodshed and seen the hatred and the chants and the madness and the demonic evil that turned Americans against one another. And they walked and they were praying and they were singing things like, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And seeing the thousands of people who were there gathered together in peace gave me hope again in my fellow human beings. But our hope is not in humanity. Our hope is in the living, resurrected Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. Our hope is in the Lord. And when we have faith in God and we put our lives and we trust God, we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that he died for our sins on the cross, he lived a sinless life for us, was faithful and obedient, and through his death came resurrection by the Holy Spirit because Jesus the Son trusted God the Father's promises. And we know that God the Father is righteous and faithful. We know from Paul's letter in Romans that we are not to be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God, the dynamite power of God to save everyone, you and I, and people out in the world who have faith. First for the Jew, that is the first people who had God's promises, and then for the Gentile, then for everybody else who has faith. And we know that the righteous will live by faith. We're called to live by faith, not by sight, amen? The writer of Hebrews says that faith is the conviction of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for. And we know that our hope isn't just pie in the sky by and by, but our hope comes, it's rooted in our everyday lives, that we're taught to rejoice in our suffering because suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces what? Hope. And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Amen? Through the gift of the Holy Spirit. I never get tired of saying that. I never get tired of reading that or hearing that. Our world needs the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And Paul has something to say to us, that not only does the gospel that he's preaching in the book of Romans, this letter to the church in Rome that he hadn't even met yet, that was scattered throughout the empire, that this gospel reveals the righteousness of God, that this gospel of Jesus Christ makes us into a new humanity in Christ, that God, that Jesus makes us right with God. He forgives us of our sins. He wipes the slate clean. He redeems us. He takes us out of the shackles of sin and slavery to fear and hatred that leads to death and division. No, he sets us free. He pours his Spirit into us. He makes us new. We're born again so that we can live with hope and so that our suffering is not in vain, that our suffering becomes a witness, that God takes our mess of our life and through his forgiveness and his healing love makes us a new person so that our mess becomes his message, so that our trials and our tests and our difficulties and the things that go wrong in our life, God can turn that into our testimony. Amen? What a powerful testimony that Angie shared with us today. I was so moved by that. Thank you so much, Angie. It gave me faith in people created in God's image again. The people who were slow to anger and were merciful and kind to you, who were concerned about you and your well-being, just like Briley was. I am so amazed at what God is doing in your lives. You're living out this faith in Jesus Christ in small ways and big ways. And the best is yet to come. Do you believe this? Do you have hope even in the midst of this world that seems dark and is losing its mind? Do you have hope in your lives and for our community? If so, can I hear an amen? Amen. We have hope because we have Jesus, and Jesus has us. He's got you. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to disappoint you. And so as we live with hope, we're called to live by the mercy of God, brothers and sisters. As Paul says, we present our bodies, our lives, our hands, our feet, our strength, our gifts, our skills, our talents, our work, our learning, our families, as a living sacrifice. A sacrifice of praise to bring glory to God, because we don't live for ourselves anymore. No, that was the old way. We live for God and for others. And we find that our well-being is tied up into the well-being of others and in our relationship with God, that it matters what God says about us, not what others say about us as much, but what God says about us. That you, my daughter, my son, are my beloved, and with you I am well pleased. That's what Jesus does in our lives. He makes us acceptable to God, as Paul says. And this becomes our spiritual worship. See, all of our lives is spiritual. The incarnation where Jesus came, God came in the flesh to come and save us, to be obedient and to show us that it is possible to be faithful to God, that it is possible to forgive your enemies, it is possible to heal the sick, it is possible to cast out demons, it is possible to be good news for the poor. It is possible to reach across the aisle or to go into enemy territory and to forgive and to pray blessings for those who persecute you. It's possible to say, Father, forgive them, even when people are killing you. See, with man, we might not think things are possible, but with God, all things are possible. And if Jesus is fully God and fully man, that means that there is a new possibility in Jesus for humanity. Amen? Amen. So listen to this verse 2, because this was what was reverberating in my heart and in my ears and in my life this week. These were the words that convicted me and caused me to stop and slow down and to get on my knees and to ask God for direction and wisdom and discernment to know how to live in these wicked days. Do not, Dean, do you have this verse up, verse 2? Let's say this together. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that, and this is the purpose, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. To discern what is the will of God, what is acceptable and perfect in the sight of God. And if it's acceptable and perfect to God, then it's acceptable to our society and to our human beings and our neighbors and our families and our loved ones. See, God's will is to prosper us and not to harm us. God's will is that through Jesus Christ, none of us would perish, but that we would have eternal life. Amen? That God so loved this world and loved you and I and loved this community and the people we don't even know or don't see, God sees. And he sent Jesus to save us He sent his only begotten Son so that we could have eternal life, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Jesus came to seek and save who? The lost. And without Jesus, we're all lost, aren't we? But he's found you. That's why you're here today. He loves you. See, Paul goes on to say that we all not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, according to the measure of faith that God has given us. And then he has these beautiful words about how we're all one body, aren't we? We have many members, and not all members have the same function, do we? We're one body in Christ, but yet individually. So we retain our uniquity. We're all unique. We all have a role to play. I like what the founder of the Vineyard Fellowship Movement, John Wimber, said in the 80s. He says, when it comes to worshiping God, everyone gets to play. Everyone has a role to play. We're all in this together. And individually, we are members one of another. And we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And he talks about these different gifts, whether it's prophecy, which is where God speaks his truth to you through his word in ways that you can speak God's word into other people's life that has immediate application or has something that kind of prepares them for what God's going to do in their life. It's a foretelling, not just a foretelling. And it's to build them up. And that prophecy is in proportion to what? To faith. And ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter or encourager in encouraging and exhorting. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. And the compassionate in cheerfulness. When you experience the compassion and mercy of God and you get to help people and to show God's love for them through doing the things that Jesus did, doesn't that make you cheerful? Doesn't that lift your soul? Lindy, I know that does for you when you get to go to the pregnancy resources on Monday nights. Or when Angie and Angie serve at the food pantry. It's a joy to be the hands and feet of Jesus, isn't it? Amen? It's a joy to see the community at the community meals. It's a joy to see the ways that, and hear the ways that our college students are witnessing to truth and justice and mercy through some of their Facebook posts or through their relationships that I hear about third hand. And the ways that they shine the light of Jesus by the way that they live. Because sometimes people aren't willing to listen to words of the gospel. But they're willing to listen once they see that you care about them and they've experienced the gospel before hearing it. Amen? Amen. Let's say this together. These are Paul's imperatives. This is, Paul's not saying, like, it'd be good if you would do this. He's using, in his grammar, this is an imperative. This is a command. This is saying, do this. Let's say this together. Verse 9. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Now, did you see that? He said, hate what is evil. Not who is evil, but what is evil. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he talked about how we war not against the flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And powers and principalities in our day are the isms, the racism, the ageism, the sexism, the political correctism. It's the things that we see and we feel, but we can't put our finger on. We can't really lay blame because it's in the water we drink and the air we breathe. It's all over the TV. It's all over the news. It's in our media. It's in our schools. It's in those addictions. These powers and principalities. See, we're called to love, be genuine, and to hate what, not who, is evil. And that's hard sometimes, especially after a week like this. When we react out of anger, we hate who instead of what. But Jesus came not to defeat sinners, but to defeat sin. He came to love and to save sinners. Amen? Amen. Verse 10, let's say this together. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. How can you show honor this week? How can you give people the benefit of doubt and even be willing to hear them out, even if you disagree with them, even if it drives you crazy, how can you honor them and to respect them as your neighbor, as your fellow human being, as a person who's made in the image of God, in the image of Jesus Christ, just like you, and whom God loves, just like you? How can we show honor? He goes on to say, do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, and serve the Lord. This is good. Let's say this together. Verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. And persevere in prayer. Here's my challenge to you this week. If you're on social media, or you're at Andrea's, or you're at a coffee shop, or you're at work, around the water cooler, or at school, when you feel that urge to react and to just share your opinion, I challenge you to take it to the Lord in prayer. To cast your anxieties not back on the person you disagree with, but on the God who loves you and cares about you and wants to take your anxieties off your hands. Persevere in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Be generous and extend hospitality to strangers. Let's say this together in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Wouldn't it be amazing if we saw that kind of thing on the news? We saw that from our diplomats, from our leaders. We saw that in our schools. We wouldn't have to worry about bullying if people had the courage to bless those who persecuted them and to bless and do not curse them. And for other people to stand and to not curse them by watching them bully other students, but to stand in and say, no, this is not right. And you're not just hurting them. This is hurting you. You need to stop because we care about you. You don't have to be afraid. We want to be your friend. See, our students, they understand. But they need our prayers. Amen? Amen. Extend hospitality to strangers. Kids, if there's new kids in your school, ask them to sit with you at lunch. Ask them to hang out with you and come play. Invite them to a party. Welcome them. Invite them to church. Invite them to our roundup that's on the 10th, right? September 10th, we're going to take kids bowling and pizza at Quad City Entertainment. I'd love to see the kids of the community, whether they come to the church or not. I would love to see as many kids as we can to take them bowling and pizzas, to show them the love of Jesus in a safe place to have fun and to show that people care about them and welcome them with hospitality. So he goes on to say this, live in harmony with one another. We need to find a way to blend with one another, to make harmony, to not be haughty or proud, but to associate with the lowly, to not be claimed to be wiser than we are. And let's say this together, do not repay anyone for evil for evil. But take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. We're Methodists. John Wesley taught these general rules. He says, do no harm was the first rule. Do no harm. Then it was do all the good you can in all the ways you can, and then to attend to the means of grace and to keep that love of God alive, so that you can love your neighbor. But the first was do no harm. Live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. See, God's the one who is going to make the justice come and the retribution and the punishment as he sees fit. But we know that if God punished us for the ways that we would punish ourselves, we wouldn't survive, would we? But God is merciful and just and righteous, and he wants the last word. We have a God who was on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he turned to that terrorist on the other side. One was mocking him on one side, and the other one says, hey, you need to stop that. And he says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus turns to this terrorist who has this last-minute repentance of humility and has mercy on him and says, today you will be with me in paradise. He couldn't get off that cross and repent and make things right. But he confessed. In that one moment, he did one righteous act. And Jesus saw that and had mercy on him and loved him. That's the God we serve. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Let's say this together. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. And this is what Paul says, and this is what I wanted to close with before we stand for our response. This is in chapter 13, verse 8. And I invite you to go home this week and read chapter 13 and pray about it. But it talks about being subject to the governing authorities, to not resist authority, to do what is good and to receive the approval of our leaders, to be respectful. But in verse 8, he says this, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. And the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet." And all these other commandments, all these thou shalt nots, are summed up in this way. And this is the positive alternative God gives us in Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. How many of you have heard that before? How many of you have taught your kids that? How many of you have taken the time to remind your friends of that when they get angry? You can do this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, and love is the fulfilling of the law. And now Paul's really being frank with us. He's saying, besides this, you know what time it is. Not chronos, not the clock's going around time, but the time is now, the right time, the culminating time, the kairos time. That it is now is the moment for you, church, to wake from your sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone and the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day. And these are the words that really convicted me this week. Not in reveling, which is what we saw in the news, the crowds, the masses, the chanting, the violence, the hatred. It was this partisan crowd mob mentality, this reveling and drunkenness. Not in debauchery and in licentiousness, that is, not in crudeness and taking the low road, taking the path of least resistance. And not in licentiousness, not in doing whatever we want, whatever we feel like doing. Not in quarreling or fighting and in jealousy, but no, instead, we are to put on who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Amen? Amen. So I want you to stand. We're going to renounce evil as the church, and we're going to affirm our faith. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Do you reject the evil powers of this world, including Satan and all his demons? And do you repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and the grace and the power and the mercy God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether for the millionth time or for the first time, and put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord? In union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, all nations, and all races. If so, say, I do.
I do.
I do. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in this world? If so, say, I will.
I will.
I will. Let us join together and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. Is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting.
Amen.
So let's sing our closing. If so, can I get an amen? Amen. May the God of hope, which this world needs, fill you all with joy and peace as you trust in him and Jesus Christ, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.